Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Sunday, the 6th of June, 2021, and you're very welcome as you join with us to listen to this pre-recorded service. This is a pre-record of what's going to take place in our building on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and it's going to be a very special service on Sunday whenever we share around the Lord's table together. So if you're listening to this before Sunday, the 6th, then you're very welcome to come and join us in person so that you can share in communion with us. If not, you're still very welcome to listen and to follow along in this service and pray that God will bless you during it. Just a few little details about the communion. We're going to be using these pre-packaged communion packs with the bread and the wine together. And as you can see, there are going to be two tear-off strips on the little pack. The first one is clear. You pull it off to get to the bread. And then the second one is foil. And whenever you pull it off, then you have access to the wine. And we'll be using these so that we can comply with all the COVID-19 restrictions that are in place. And we do hope that you're able to come and join with us. So let's worship God together. And today, as we come to worship, I'm delighted to welcome Mervyn and Lorraine Johnson into membership of our congregation. Mervyn and Lorraine have recently moved to Port Stewart, and they are joining us in Burnside Church family now. As we're thinking about communion, we read in John chapter 6 and verse 35, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." So today we come to the table to meet with Jesus, the bread of life, who feeds us and who nourishes us and who draws us close around this table today. So let's turn to God in prayer together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we thank you that you are the Almighty God. And as we come to your table, we thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us in sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven. We thank you that Jesus came and suffered in our place, took the punishment of our sin, and then rose again with victory so that we might have forgiveness and so that we might have eternal life. So, Lord, we ask that you would be with us now throughout this service. Help us in all that we do together, that we might glorify your name and that we might worship you. Amen. At the beginning of our service, and normally for communion, we would sing Psalm 116. And Psalm 116 reminds us of the cup of salvation. And in that psalm we read, "I love salvation, take the cup, and on the Lord's name call. I pay my vows unto the Lord before his people all. Dear in his sight is his saint's death. Thy servant, Lord, am I. Thy servant sure, thine handmaid's son, my bands thou didst untie. Thank offerings I to thee will give, and on the Lord's name call. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. Within the courts of the Lord's house, within the midst of thee, O city of Jerusalem, praise to the Lord give ye." Let's turn to God's word together. And today our reading is found in Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 1 to 19. And this is the occasion where Abraham is tested by God. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word. Today then, as we prepare to come to the table of our Lord, we're going to look at what we're doing based on the story of what happened to Abraham when God commanded him to sacrifice his only son. And there are a few reasons why we're turning to Abraham today, as there are links to our journey through the book of James. If you think back to James chapter 2, this very event that we've just read about from Genesis was given as an example of how our deeds and our faith go hand in hand and cannot be separated. There in James 2, James writes, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone." So that made me think that the first opportunity we get, we should go back and have a closer look at Abraham and what happened on that occasion. And the passage is called "When God Tested Abraham." Then when I started to read about Abraham, I discovered another link with James, because God here is testing Abraham right at the very beginning of Genesis 22 we read. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And so much of our journey through James has been looking at how God tests us. Not in a pass-fail type of test, but in the testing of metal, in the refining process, heating up the metal so that the impurities rise to the surface. So as God tests us, as he heats us up, the impurities in our lives rise to the surface, and we can ask God to remove those impurities. And Abraham here is under an extreme test. He is facing extreme pressure. The heat has been turned up on his life. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Abraham is asked to give everything to God. The most precious thing that he has is his only son, Isaac. Abraham and Sarah have come through so much to have a child, and now God is asking Abraham to give him up. It's even more difficult for Abraham because all the promises that God has made to him about his future, well, they're all linked with Isaac. They're all linked with Abraham having descendants that will be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the shore. But even so, Abraham is ready and willing to make the sacrifice. So much so that Abraham set off immediately that God asked him to do this. He didn't try to delay the process. He didn't say to God, "Okay, that sounds fair enough, but you know, maybe give me a few more years with my son before I hand him over to you." No, we read in verse 3, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about." So today, as we come to the table of the Lord, as we prepare to eat and drink together, God is asking us if we are ready to hand everything over to him. And we willingly come to him today, leaving everything at the table, so that we can receive the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. Remember last week in James, we were thinking about how we are to submit to God. Not just to make a commitment to him, but actually submit to him, giving him everything. And Abraham here is the example of submission, the example of giving everything over to God. Isaac then started to question what they were doing. But Abraham was convinced that God had the situation under control. When Isaac asked the question, Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Abraham here is unwavering in his trust of God, that this was the right course of action. Abraham was ready to offer up his son to God, and this was his trust in God in action for us to see it. This was his faith and his deeds working together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Abraham was ready to give God everything. But the angel stepped in to stop him. Because even though Abraham was offering all that he had, in a way, it still wasn't enough. You see, we can never give God what he demands for the forgiveness of our sins. For us to attempt to deal with our sin, we need to be punished and we need to die. So Abraham could have gone through with this sacrifice, but it still wouldn't have appeased God. God's wrath burns against our sin. And it's really foolish for us to think that we are able to do anything about it ourselves. So whatever we're offering to God, whatever we bring to him at this table today, let's realise now that it will not be enough. Whatever bargain we're preparing to make with God, it won't be enough. It will look like an insult today. Because God at this table is offering us forgiveness. He's offering us eternal life. And we offer him a grubby, filthy life that's full of failure. God is bringing blessing to Abraham. And like us, Abraham's got nothing to give in return. He offers his son, but it's not enough. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." So what happens? Well, God is saying Isaac is not enough as a sacrifice. But do not worry. You can still make your sacrifice to me. I will provide the lamb. And that is what God does. He provides a ram that's there. And Abraham is able to take it and sacrifice it. So Abraham makes a sacrifice. And he offers to God something that has cost him nothing. He doesn't own the ram that he is about to offer to God. He hasn't gone out and bought it with his money. It's been provided for him free of charge. Abraham hasn't even had to go and chase the ram and catch it and bring it to God and offer it. God has provided the ram and it has cost Abraham nothing. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And now we might be thinking to ourselves, surely there's something very unfair about this. Because sacrifice should cost us something. That's the whole point of sacrifice. You cannot get all the benefit without paying for it. But Abraham is blessed and he offers God something that God himself has provided. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." So let's come back to today as we approach this table. We've got nothing that we can bring of any worth to present before Jesus today. So what do we do? Well, like Abraham, we need to turn round and see that God has already provided. we need to see the ram caught in the thicket. The Lord provides. The Lord provides Jesus Christ, his only Son. Jesus Christ, who has been substituted in our place. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the only one who can turn away the wrath of God. So therefore, as we come to the table today, Jesus has cost us nothing. We bring nothing of ourselves. We simply trust in Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done. Jesus is the sacrifice who has been provided by God and is accepted by God, and we have nothing to offer in this exchange. As we often sing in Top Lady's hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. And in verse 2 we sing, not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Thou must save, and save by grace. And in verse 3 we sing, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. So as we come to the table today, let's not misunderstand what we are doing. Being at this table is not the sacrifice that we are bringing to God. Do we think that because we come to the table, that would be a fair exchange for eternal life? Look, God, I'm here, I'm eating, I'm drinking, therefore give me all that I deserve. Drinking the cup and eating the bread today is not the act that forgives sin. We come to this table today empty-handed, and we leave not only with arms full, but we leave with lives that are full. The sacrifice has already been made. Jesus has already forgiven our sin on the cross. It has already taken place. The body has been broken. The blood has been shed. And today, as we come to this table, we simply receive the blessing today. So as God tests us today, what impurities have risen to the surface? What is it that God is wanting to remove from our lives? Let's examine ourselves closely at the table. And let's come trusting only in what Jesus Christ has done for us. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Almighty, and we trust in you this day. We come to you, Lord, because you are the one who has the words of eternal life, and therefore we trust you today. Lord, bring eternal life and blessing into our lives as we humble ourselves before you and submit to you this day. Amen. At this point in our service, we're going to sing, Hear, O my Lord, I see you face to face. Hear what I touch and handle things unseen. Hear, grasp with firmer hand the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon you lean. Mine is the sin, but yours the righteousness. Mine is the guilt, but yours the cleansing blood. Here is my robe, my refuge and my peace. Your blood, your righteousness, O Lord my God. And then after communion we'll sing, Too soon we rise, The symbols disappear. The feast, though not the love, is past and gone. The bread and wine remove, but you are here, nearer than ever, still my shield and sun. Feast after feast, thus comes and passes by, yet passing points to that glad feast above, giving sweet foretaste of the festal joy, the Lamb's great bridal feast of bliss and love. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided the sacrifice in your Son, Jesus, and we come and benefit from that sacrifice today. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.